I'm having such a hard time recording this. I have no idea why. First of all, I want to apologize for two things. My voice. I think I'm in like a hungover of honestly, like just shifting hemispheres really fucked me up. I think okay, this is the second summer that I lived this year, and I don't know. I don't think I'm used to the heat at the moment where I'm at. I don't really know what it is. I truly don't know. I think I'm just truly having a hard time adapting, like my body kind of like adapting back to, I don't know if it's allergies. I don't know what it is. It's kind of embarrassing because I apologized for this precise thing on the last episode, in Spanish, and if you're coming from there, I'm really sorry that my voice is just the same. I'm having a really hard time just getting through this cold or whatever it is, particularly because I have no idea what it is. However, I'm delighted to be here this year. This year, right here, right now, because it's a very special episode. I am going to be talking about something that I'm really passionate about, like most of the things that I talk about in here. However, this episode is revisiting an episode that I recorded last year around this time of the year and around a similar topic. And in this case, it's Matariki. So we're going to be talking about summer solstice reflections. Kind of iconic. It's my first summer solstice in June. Well, June, July. In the Northern Hemisphere in like 20 years. Just kidding, in like four, but like, you know, it's felt like 20. I'm going to be giving you some amazing journal prompts for this time of the year, for this to reflect upon the year that we, the year, the half of the first half of the year that we just left behind, that we have just lived, and to also reflect upon and create, redesign, welcome the second part of the year. So, yeah, we're going to be talking about summer solstice reflections, releasing the winter. In this case, for us, it's the winter in Aotearoa, New Zealand, where I was living at for the past few years. It's winter, and I remember, I mean, it kind of became a habit to me that my birthday, July 8th, was like, I mean, I grew up, of course, with like a summer birthday, but like then it became like the winter. So now that I'm back in summer, I'm just kind of like, oh my God, this is amazing. You know, like I just did not remember what having a summer birthday was, and it's amazing, and I'm really happy. So this is kind of a space where I'm revisiting the space where I was at last year, recording a very similar episode, sharing insights of what I learned about Matariki. So Matariki is this public holiday celebrated in New Zealand. It comes from Te Ao Māori, which is the indigenous culture in Aotearoa, New Zealand. And last year, it was the first year that it was a public holiday, and it was the first time that the West has acknowledged an indigenous holiday, an indigenous tradition, an indigenous philosophy, as in this case, as a public holiday. So it's something quite special. As a colonized country, it's amazing seeing that there's some sort of, you know, there's so much to do, still to do, and there's a lot that can be done better. But I think having that widely acknowledged and having some conversation around it, and, you know, hearing the kinds of conversations that would come up, would come up out of there, was really special. And I was so inspired and moved by what I learned from Matariki and the space that it kind of sparked within me to ask myself questions that, or have a little pause that I hadn't had in a very long time. So this year is no different, everybody. I reflected so much in order to record this episode, of course, and write down my notes. I reflect a lot upon the space where I was at last year, the space that I'm at this year, what I kind of, you know, want to release, what I want to attract or create for the second part of the year. And so it's been a very healing journey, learning from different philosophies, from different cultures, in this case, from a very spiritual culture, how to just live better and just how to be more graceful in the sense, in how we handle things, how we mediate the outer world with our inner world, and how we can establish just like a better relationship with ourselves. And I'm just really inspired by that. So today I'm sharing that from a very similar space that I did last year, because last year I was so stoked. I was so excited about Matariki being the first year ever. And this year, I sadly am not in Aotearoa, New Zealand, to be there to celebrate Matariki. However, I am feeling definitely kind of like a cycle ending from like Matariki last year and this beginning of Matariki. So Matariki, pretty much, for those of you who don't know, who might not be from New Zealand or who might not know of the holiday or who did not listen to my other episode, Matariki is pretty much a public holiday, of course, that is sort of the new year, the Maori new year. So it's kind of a time where people gather and reflect upon what they want to let go of and how they want to live their new year. There's a lot much more profound meaning to the holiday. So I think I would absolutely love to dedicate a special space, a special episode to talk about Matariki, just because right now I can't really just put, you know, I'm utilizing it as a medium for reflection. However, there's just much more, and it's just really hard just putting it in a few words. But pretty much Matariki, I can, in a very simplified way, I can say that it's the Maori New Year. I Googled this year what Matariki was going to be, because I think the nature of Matariki, it's kind of like changes a little bit, like fluctuates. So there was never like a very specific date, as we have for instance, a summer solstice. The fact that it just fascinates me that something as in a way intangible, like seasons, something so hard to grasp or even understand, like seasons, we can just kind of like in a calendar just be like, bam, June 21st, summer solstice. March 21st, spring or fall, December 21st or September 20th, you know, it's like those four times in the year where we kind of like mark the beginning of a new season just absolutely fascinates me. It's like so systemic, while at the same time, it's such a natural thing that feels even weird to kind of like, I don't even know. It's just kind of mind blows me. However, I found this amazing way of kind of like understanding how Matariki operates. And it says that Matariki operates on a movable feast basis, which I adore. Okay, I love the fact that it says that it's on a movable feast basis. I think it really speaks for the nature of being such like of being like a holiday that aims to align with the season, to align with the end of something and the beginning of something else, aligns to nature, and nature fluctuates. Nature is never truly like super precise or even perfect. Like, it is perfect, but at the same time it's not perfect, if you know what I mean. You know, it's kind of like natural, like imperfection is natural as it can. Anyway, to me, it kind of, that concept of like that Matariki operates as a movable feast basis, it's kind of like fascinating, because it kind of mimics the nature of the holiday. Anyway, so last year it was around, I remember that it was right after summer solstice, or in this case, winter solstice. So June 21st, I believe it was June 24th last year. And this year it's going to be July 14th, which is a couple weeks difference, or 3 weeks. I don't really know. Three weeks difference. A little bit of a significant difference if we're considering that it's, you know, that it's, I mean, it's not as precise as like a solstice, for example. So this year, you know, like at the beginning of like, well, towards the end of June, I was like, it must be like Matariki already. Like it must be Matariki. So to me, it always felt so natural. Like to me, it made sense. Like last year that it was, you know, that people, a little bit before where people were already speculating that 2022 was going to be the year when Matariki was actually going to be official. And when I learned about it, to me, it was just so, it made so much sense. And at this time right now, I can truly feel kind of like just reflecting upon the space, the time and space that I was at last year moves me so much. And it also feels like a whole year. Like this is, it truly feels like, it truly feels like such a connection with that time. And like, it's kind of like a, like an era that communicates with the other one. You know what I mean? It does really feel like a new year, like the end of something, the beginning of another kind of era. I don't really know. Matariki always made sense to me. I would really love to talk about it at some point, but I really need to move on from that right now to start making sense about what I want to talk about. So this was the first time this is my first summer solstice in the Northern Hemisphere, and it's been amazing. However, it's just been really challenging. It was a really, winter was exhausting. It was excruciating. It was fucking hard. And I'm so glad that it's over. I cannot fully, I can just not fully point or blame the winter for the really difficult times that I went through. However, I think I saw and I acknowledged the fact that we live in a physical world, and as much personal work we do, or as much, you know, stability we aim to cultivate in our lives, everything fluctuates. And like, there's moments when the external world and like different factors from like our surroundings are really going to impact the way that we feel. So this year for me, it truly felt like the winter was, it was just a really harsh time. I can safely say that it was probably the year with the most, was just like some of the most difficult things that I've ever experienced in my life. And if we're considering that like last June, let's say July to this July was like a whole year, I can just be like, yeah, just the the hardest year of my life, but at the same time, the most amazing year of my life. It was really weird because I kind of like felt like it was the most unstable year ever. I moved eight times I moved. Okay, so it was from physically stable to just like feeling like it was just so fluctuating and so all over the place. So it was really unstable, but at the same time, I felt the I felt like I tasted the most stable I've ever felt in my life, like the most stability. Like I truly tasted stability, and I was like, oh wow, this feels like really good. You know, like I'd never really tasted this, I think, you know. So I think for my first time, at least in my young adult life, I was able to taste something different, and that was stability, and that felt really, really great, you know. And I'm a big advocate on this, like in my life, and of course on this podcast, that's why it's around here, because I truly believe in the fact that we are our own homes, we are our own best company, and we must nurture and cultivate a relationship with ourselves, and that everything comes from within. However, I think this year I truly experienced just kind of like the chaos that can really that just like feeds onto the internal chaos and vice versa, you know. So kind of like the two different, the different facades of that very chaotic energy. So I'm just really happy to be sitting here on summer, in summer, and reflect in like looking at that era as something that feels so far away. So I'm truly grateful. This year, I also experienced for the first time in my life, simultaneously, as I was really hurting and as I was really just digesting a lot of trauma and a lot of pain, as I was doing that, I experienced the magic of putting our, what hurts us in this case, or what we, you know, let's just say what we feel in this case for me was really, what was really hurting on paper. I literally say this every single episode. I'm always like, journal and like, you know, like write your feelings down and cry them out. But this time, I swear to God, this year, I convinced myself even more of this practice, of this way, of this kind of like as a way, as a path to truly heal. I've never seen my pain as an asset to do anything. You know what I mean? Like pain, there's so many different ways of experiencing pain. There's so like, there's nothing in particular you should do. You know, like each process is different. Each person is different. This year, however, I think, yeah, it was for the first time that I simultaneously, for some reason, was able to document my pain in a way where, you know, I was putting it on paper, I was writing about it, and in this case, I was filming. I wrote and shot a short film, my first experimental short film, and I screened it, and I truly had no desire to explore anything else other than the pain that I was truly feeling and the conflicted feelings that I had of, in this case, you know, displacement, multiculturalism, navigating three languages, three different cultures, three different continents in less than 2 months. You know what I mean? It was just kind of like such a shift of just changes from like physical space and how, you know, that really impacted my internal space and how I could mediate that and somehow mitigate the pain, if that was even possible. I don't really know. I think I was curious this year as I was hurting to simultaneously try to maybe not even understand, but just look at it and kind of put it somewhere, materialize it and be like, okay, what is this? You know what I mean? It was really special because I'd never truly been, I mean, I love creating things and you know, I keep talking about like writing things down and like, you know, like your morning pages. I don't know what I talk about in here, but this year I truly saw the power of not just storytelling, but like sharing, of like putting, when we put something out there that comes from within and that comes from an honest and vulnerable place, it's truly amazing how people with completely different life paths could or can empathize or feel understood or feel seen. To me, it was really powerful. The night of the screening for me of that short film, it was around 3 months that were between the time, 3 to 4 months from the time that I started writing to the time where it was screened. So to me, of course, you know, I started writing it in one place and then it ended up somewhere else. But there was like still this aim to just explore. If I could not put something into words, that was fine. You know, it was a way of just exploring and experimenting and trying to just be kind with the way that I was looking at myself. I think it was also a great exercise to just see from the outside how not just how I looked like, it was truly just to see from the outside, from an external perspective, what I was going through or what I was trying to put into words and look at myself as if I was someone else. And because we tend to be automatically kinder to others and we tend to be more strict or more harsh with ourselves. So looking at me from like a different perspective, I was able to be like, oh my God, I'm just like a really hurt puppy right now. I should be kind to myself. I should stop being a, you know, like I should not be asking myself all of these things that I'm pressuring myself to do or accomplish. So it was truly healing. And not everybody has, I mean, not even me in past experiences where I'm like, you know, hurting. Sometimes I can't even really talk about it. I can't really ask for help. I can't really, you know, do anything. But this year was really beautiful seeing how something, you know, a little piece of me that was meaning to explore something just made it somewhere. And out of there, there were really great and amazing conversations. And it was so healing seeing that. And I feel like a big part of that era is it feels so far away from now, because I feel like it's been released. It's been written down. It's been, you know, kind of seen. So it feels released. And I think that's an amazing thing about art or anything, you know, creative, anything that we bring into the physical world. I think it's amazing the power that materializing something that we have in our heads, in our hearts, in our, you know, in our feelings, in our emotional body can really do. So to me, that was just really, honestly, really life-changing and just really amazing to see with my own eyes and to truly feel better. Because of course, you know, like I was doing, you know, the internal work that I know that works for me and therapy and all these things. But I think for the first time, I truly experienced without any expectation the beauty of creating something honest, where I was like, if it speaks to someone, that's fine. If it doesn't, I don't really care. It kind of speaks to me, so that's fine. And yeah, it ended up just being a really big success. And I'm just really humbled and really so excited. Anyway, I think that was just a little, just a really long way to say that whatever you're feeling this at this time of the year, it's absolutely valid. You know, pain can be handled in different ways. You know, sometimes we can talk about it, sometimes we can't, sometimes we can put it on paper, sometimes we can't, and that's absolutely fine. Sometimes it's way harder to look at something as we are living it. So we might welcome the second half of the year. You know, we might get to the summer solstice, we might get to Matariki feeling so exhausted, you know, feeling so exhausted, feeling heartbroken, feeling shattered from what we just lived on the first half of the year, you know, and that's a very valid feeling. To me, it happens that always whenever summer arrives, of course, I'm happy because the weather's better and I love the summer. But I have this pressure, this unconscious pressure to always make every summer better than the other one. And of course, I'm not always like in the bet, you know, I'm not always in the, I don't know, like there's no always like the conditions to kind of like level up in that way or kind of like look back at some summer and just make it better. Sometimes it doesn't happen like that. So I think that summer does come with expectations and does come with connotations of, you know, like the hot girl summer, the glow up, the fun and the trips and the posting and the photos and all of that. And I think that could be really tough. It could be really tough if we are just feeling burnt out and exhausted, you know? So I think I just want to acknowledge right here and right now that whatever you're feeling, it's absolutely valid. And as much as the summer, it's for planning and, you know, looking at your goals and either pursuing them or changing them or seeing what you want to implement, seeing what you don't want anymore, it could also be a time for you to decide to rest or get to know your physical needs and feed those very basic needs. You know, sometimes when we are going through something really tough, at least myself, sometimes I forget about the most basic things that me as a human being needs, you know? From season to season, we have different like physiological needs, you know, like even, you know, me during the winter, I'm like hungry all the time. I'm eating like 4 or 5 times a day and I'm snacking, you know, I love you know, I need food. On summer, I eat less things. I'm craving more, you know, like more fresh things. I drink more liquids. I don't know, you know, it's different. And sometimes when we go through hard things and we are experiencing something that's taking probably a little bit more of us than other things, we might forget about our physiological needs. And that truly just impacts everything. Because yes, we are, you know, we're spiritual beings and we have minds and we're incredibly smart and our bodies are super wise and there's some sort of system that keeps us alive. But sometimes our physiological needs are not being met, and that's just making everything harder and keeps it kind of like on a cycle of unfinished business with ourselves. And sometimes truly what we just need, it's like a sleep, or sometimes we're lacking some sort of like vitamin or meal, or we're not feeding ourselves properly. Whatever it is, I think I discovered this year, just I reconnected with the true importance of meeting those basic needs. And sometimes, you know, whatever it is that you're going through, but especially during tough periods of life, sometimes the best we can do is feeding those basic needs, and that's absolutely okay. And that's the best we can do. So if you are here welcoming summer after a really tough year, after a really long winter, after whatever it was, and you're just feeling motivated to get out of bed, make a meal, shower, go back, or if you have work and you're having whatever it is that you're going through, I think that's so valid. And I understand how hard it can be to see all these people doing things and planning and whatever, and you feeling kind of stuck. So I think that let's just remember that it's all an illusion on social media, at least. And well, everything is kind of an illusion at the end of the day. But yeah, it's, I think everybody's got their own process, and sometimes it's hard to, like, people don't really talk about, still, we don't really talk about hardship enough and the mental challenges of the winter and the effect of certain things upon our mental health. So I think that if you're approaching this summer, the second half of the year, excited and with a lot of energy, or either really low energy, just really willing to cover your basic needs, that's so valid and that's so understandable. And I've been in both spots, and I feel like I'm actually right now in both of those places. I think it's really beautiful the way in which human beings, or all living beings, truly, actually, all living beings shift with the seasons. I think we have a harder time with that because we're human beings, and you know, there's so many different aspects in our lives that somehow make, we're really detached from our nature and from nature in general. And it's kind of artificial living in a way, sometimes the way that we experience life. But we must remember that we're truly connected to the environment. And at the end of the day, we are also kind of like on tune with the time of the year in a way, if that makes any sense. So I think we must ask ourselves, how prone are we to shift with the seasons? And do kind of like a check-in with ourselves on how our physical needs are being met, on how we can support our physical, mental, spiritual needs, all needs in our lives with this change of season, as well as, of course, like energetic change, if you know a little bit about that, or if you believe in that at all. I kind of find it silly when people say that they believe in energies or that they don't. I mean, scientifically, it's already out there. I don't know why we treat it as if it was a religion that we're aligned with or not. But yeah, if you do believe in energies, well, seasons do have also their own energies, and we can match those energies, asking ourselves how we're meeting our needs, how we're feeling, revisiting, how we have been transitioning and experiencing those changes, and maybe how truly aligned we are with the natural world.
I would also love to acknowledge the fact that we are all, I mean, okay, I'm going to use myself as an example because that's the true reason why I'm here right now, ever here. I'm really prone to experience seasonal depression, and that truly is a thing. And I think it's really important to acknowledge that there's things that truly impact our well-being and our mental health. And it's a conversation that we still need to encourage and have, not just during winter, also during summer. I mean, of course, I still have really tough moments during the summer, and anything can really happen at any time of the year, truly. I recently did an interview with my amazing friends from the lovely charity in Auckland neighborhood, who do an amazing work around mental health and well-being. And we talked about the ways in which I learned, or I navigated, winter blues. And that truly made me realize that there's so many, first of all, that I kind of knew how to deal with my winter blues, but also I think seasons are a reminder of how fluctuating everything within the natural world is. And even if we forget about it, sometimes we are also part of that natural world. And oh my God, my voice is just, I'm so sorry, everybody. My voice is just going downhill from this point. But changes within seasons is a great reminder that our mental health fluctuates, and eras in our life fluctuate, and in our lives fluctuate, and feelings that we might have fluctuate and change. Goals and projects that we have also change. And I remember one of the biggest takeaways that I learned last year as in 2022, but this year as in, like, it's been 1 year since last July, sort of thing, was during my mental health rescue. No, what's the name? It's got like a really fancy name. It's mental health. anyway, my mental health training to be support for someone during crisis. So during that training, we did a lot of exercises to kind of see how fluctuating mental health was and really understand and kind of grasp the fact of just, you know, how hard it is to pinpoint feelings and things that we think and cross our minds. And so I remember that to me was so life-changing and enabled me to really understand even better our own chemistry biologically, just because we went through this exercise where we were reading archetypes, so we had different characters, and I remember that we were going through kind of like weekly diaries of our characters. So each of the characters on different weeks, they would be like kind of rating their week, no? They'd be like, oh, this week was an amazing week. You know, I went for a run. I felt very motivated. I feel very excited about the future. I saw my mates. It was great. Then there was like another week, you know, like the week after or 2 weeks after or 4 weeks after or a month after. It was, you know, completely different. It was like, this week the weather's been really bad, or this week, you know, work has been really stressful and I felt like there's a lot on my shoulders. I feel really lonely and, you know, whatever. This week I feel more neutral, you know, all sorts of different feelings and their evolution and just kind of like contrasts. And I got to see that, first of all, for the longest time, I just thought that I was the only person, not as in the only person, but I felt so lonely thinking that maybe I was just
struggling so bad, and like my feelings were just fluctuating, and that I was probably like super unstable, and that it was really unnormal and whatnot. And I think it was really liberating realizing that times change, and just, you know, we fluctuate and we move with time. Some people, of course, are more prone than others, and of course there's a lot of factors that, you know, we cannot just inherently say that that's natural, because, you know, I'm not a health professional. I can't really have a say on that. However, I think it was really great realizing that there's a lot of different factors that really contribute to how we're feeling and how we occupy, how we're feeling within the space that we occupy in the world, and how we show up on that, to that space that we occupy in the world. So, I think that whatever it is that we're navigating, we must be really patient, and we must take this summer solstice, in this case, this new beginning of our second half of the year, as a reminder that just like seasons change, we change. And with that, our social circle, our physical space, our mental health, our emotional space, everything really, you know? So I think we must see that with a little bit more. We should see it. Okay, this is my opinion, okay? We should see this with like a natural thing. I still feel so shy. I just don't feel safe enough to say, to just be fully unfiltered about how fluctuating my feelings get sometimes. And I don't know. Yeah, I think we should see it a little bit more natural. Or maybe if there's some circles where it's seen more natural, I should just move, go more often, or, you know, interact more with these kinds of circles, because I don't really feel like it's talked about enough. Anyway, here are the goodies. Here we have some questions that I utilize as journal prompts, and I would encourage you to do utilize them as journal prompts, or utilize them as, I don't know, anything that you, that might spark some thought around that. If you're listening to this and you just want to like think about them and answer mentally, that's totally fine. If you want to write them down, or write them down and ask a friend, and kind of like talk to each other, or I don't know, truly anything. These are prompts for you to answer in any way that you feel comfortable and inspired. And if you want to share them, that's really great. I really love the idea of kind of like sharing my personal insights. And I mean, of course, right? But like, I don't know, there's been moments where I share, you know, my journal entries with my friends, and we talk about, you know, yeah, things like these. And it's really special just how checking in with ourselves and with other people can become a really nurturing and activity that bonds us with those around us. So here's our first prompt. What do I want to give closure to? So this goes back to this sentiment of, to kind of like the aura of Matariki as a holiday of reflection and releasing and closing cycles and forgiving. And, you know, I remember last year we had this amazing little gathering, and we wrote in little pieces of paper things that we wanted to let go of or release or forgive or, you know, whatever. And I wrote a few things and we burnt them. And it was a symbolic way of releasing that, of getting that weight off our shoulders, and, you know, bringing into the material world what we had the intention to release. So I think that intention plays a big part in here. So asking ourselves, what do I want to give closure to, is a great way to start this insightful journey on this second half of the year. On that same line, what do I want to welcome? So you can think of feelings, opportunities, people, etc. Truly, I think it applies to all. So what do I want to welcome? You can write this
as a list. You can kind of like make a little mind map. You can kind of even like make a little collage, whatever you want. What do I want to welcome? Next we have, in what ways can I support my physical, my emotional, my spiritual body? So for this, these kinds of prompts, I really like having, I'm very visual, so I love having kind of like different areas where I can write down that I can fill up. So I kind of like make little circles with each category. So I have physical and emotional, spiritual. You know, you can write any other areas of your life that you would want to instigate and understand, or, you know, restructure in ways that you can support. So in what ways can I support my emotional, physical, spiritual body? Next we have, really important to acknowledge what we have been through, no matter how challenging or proud it made us, or sad, happy, whatever it made us feel. What am I proud of myself for accomplishing or navigating these past few months? So we might see some things as accomplishments. We might see some others as just tough moments that we managed somehow to navigate and go through. So in this case, you can make like, you can use both categories. I think in my personal life, I can see definitely this year is something that brought me a lot of things that I'm proud for, accomplishments, as we can say, but some others were just hard times that I still don't understand why they came here for, and I just see them as eras that I navigated. So what am I proud of myself for accomplishing and for navigating these past months of our year? Very important to acknowledge what we have done with what we know, with what we have. This one changed my life, and it made me break out of, it made me step away from a few dynamics and spaces that I was holding. What have I been tolerating? What have I been tolerating? This one really made me think of the things that I, without intention, would just like keep around me, or that were already kind of like a habit, second nature, that I was not really questioning, that I was maybe not really seeing clear enough, or that I was not really asking myself consistently, like kind of like doing a check-in, if it was like still serving me or if it was still feeling right. So what have I been tolerating could be a really powerful and confrontational question. The answers that I got the first time that I saw this question, I was just shocked. And it was really hard to accept, I think, no? Like, I was trying to find excuses for things that I clearly just needed to release, or to, I just needed to maybe realize that that I was mostly tolerating way more than nourishing or enjoying or getting benefit from or loving, you know? So what have I been tolerating goes over here for you to think. Next we have, how and where? So this could be a double question. Once again, we can write that as a list, or two columns, or two little bubbles, or whatever. How and where do I want to put and utilize my energy? So how do I want to use my energy for, or how do I want to utilize my energy? I think I repeated that. How do I want to utilize my energy? And where do I want to put my energy towards? So also a really good prompt to ask ourselves, not just right now, but consistently. Kind of like as a really efficient way to check in where your energy, where we want our energy. And then we can ask ourselves, where is my energy currently going to? That could be kind of like a good way of first initially asking ourselves where we wanted to go, where our intention is, and then kind of having a reality check of where it's actually going and how we are utilizing it. Are we utilizing it as currency? Are we treating it as something that we need to nurture in order to have more of? Or are we just kind of like using it as something that never runs out and something that, you know, it's, I don't know, it's only for others to decide and not ourselves. Anyway, what, oh, okay, this is a really cute one. It took me a little while to remember the meaning of this when I wrote it down. So now that the days are longer, how do I want to utilize sunlight? I can't deal with how cute this is. Okay, so yeah, how do I want to utilize sunlight? What do I want to do in the sun? I have a little gift for those of you in the winter, because we could use the exact same thing. Actually, for winter, it could be even more powerful, because if we have, of course, limited sunshine in the winter, kind of like asking ourselves how we can utilize sunshine if we have access to it, it could be really special, just realizing that a little walk could be what we need right now, or something that might make us really happy when we have a limited resource like sunlight in some places. And then I love asking on journaling sessions, just to write down, I mean, I love writing down, not asking, but I just love writing down the things that have been giving me life lately. And it's kind of like a little mix of kind of awareness and gratitude and acknowledging and seeing those things in our lives that truly work out and sometimes are truly really simple and priceless even sometimes. So to me, I made a little list in here. This is such an efficient set of notes that I put together for this episode. Truly, I did not even remember that I wrote so much, and I'm just kind of like going through all my notes, and it's amazing. So asking ourselves, what has been life-giving lately? What's been giving me life? No matter how simple, no matter how small, or no matter how big and how extra, it's important to remember and to see what actually is serving us. So to me lately, it's been live music. I've been loving going to gigs, been going to DJ sets. Recently in France, there was Fête de la Musique, which is like, not me being able to translate, the musical party, I don't know, it's like literally all the I think it happens all over the country. In Paris, it was just like the entire city was like different, like everybody was, you know, going to their own gigs, like different music all over, party all night long, all sorts of genres all over, amazing, just a wide diversity of music and people just gathering to enjoy sound. So that was pretty amazing and reminded me how happy that makes me. So live music has been giving me life. Going to public spaces, to like shared spaces like parks and gardens, has been amazing. In places like Europe, where during the winter sunshine is limited, and once you get like longer days and, you know, there's sun almost every day and people start sharing gardens or just going out and having a picnic or having their lunch breaks or just reading a book or whatever it is, just taking up space in the sun, in kind of like, it kind of like makes it part of like a collective experience. You know what I mean? So I've been adoring just doing those, just going to, yeah, to public spaces where there's more people and just literally being there, you know, if I'm reading, or if I bring my mat and I'm stretching, or if I'm like painting or doing nothing or listening to music or eating or whatever it is, or writing my episodes, I don't know. That's been really amazing. I've also been loving reconnecting with movement. So running has been amazing. I'm a really bad runner. Well, I should not be judging myself that hard. I am getting into running. I'm working and I'm building up my stamina for running. I guess I'm learning how to breathe like a runner. Because a lot of running is the breathing. And I think it's amazing looking at how powerful breathing can be, and like just, yeah, and like how kind of like grasping onto like that control, yeah, like that healthy control, and like how your body can really regulate that. I don't know, it's just magical. So running has been amazing. Of course, being outside, swimming's in the ocean. I fucking love them. They're so healing. They make me so happy. Grabbing food, cooking with or for someone. Love that. Miss that. My kitchen is tiny at the moment. So not really doing that as much anymore, but I really miss that. Making art and writing. I've been writing a lot again. I've been writing, yes. Yeah, I feel kind of once again in like a prolific time to write and do things like creative stuff. I think that, yeah, mostly because it was a very long winter, I'm just kind of like in the mood to make things. And after testing that of like, you know, just putting of storytelling and putting things out there, I was just like, oh, it's just really fun making art just for the sake of making it, not really for anything else. So I've been painting and writing it, and it's been amazing. Been enjoying going places, taking photos. This has always been a thing for me, so not truly anything new here. Curating playlists and sounds has been amazing. I recently went to this to these ateliers, so like this It was like a class, like a master class for sound design. And it was amazing encountering sounds and seeing them and treating them as textures. That's how we would call them and how we would treat them. Like, and it was amazing kind of seeing sound as its own art form, and just the quality, I don't know, it was incredible. So curating playlists and recording sounds and experimenting has been really fun. I don't know where that's gonna go, but it's just really fun. Anyway, not questioning my current feelings, just sitting on my feelings, not really trying to understand every single thing. As much as I love looking and understanding a lot of things and questioning honestly most of what's around me, sometimes what I need is just letting myself feel and not really just be on my own way and trying to ask explanations for everything. So sometimes I've just been enjoying just sitting with my own feelings and just feel things and not really try to rationalize everything. Setting intentions has been amazing. Just kind of like waking up and playing. Oh, okay. Let me show you something. Are we ready for this? I'm sure you're not ready for this, but let me show you. So that little singing bowl I play in the morning, just like literally just like a little boom, just that one. And it's kind of like just like a literally like a 3-second thing where if I'm running late or something, I can just really quickly just set an intention. And I don't know, just kind of like ground myself a little bit. That feels really great.
Nature has been making me happy. I truly miss New Zealand nature. Miss it so much. Still grieving that. So whenever I have a time, just I guess that's why I've been loving parks. So whenever I have the chance to, I just love reconnecting with nature. Really missing it, but definitely it's been still giving me life. Reading, once again, I'm free from uni now, so reconnecting with readings that I am doing for pleasure. It's been incredible. Last summer I read This Is Your Mind on Plants by my absolute religion and my idol icon in life, Michael Pollan. Michael Pollan, I absolutely love you and you're my favorite. This is really embarrassing. I need to stop saying this, but anyway. By Michael Pollan was incredible. So I'm actually rereading it. I started rereading it yesterday just because I was like, I really want to refresh this. It's such an amazing read. So finding a little summer read, if you're into summer reading, into reading, it's amazing. Audiobooks are fun. I don't know, podcasts, just kind of like consuming some sort of content that makes me feel smarter. It feels really good. And yeah, cooking for myself, it says, cooking for myself and others. I've been grieving not having a proper space. I'm excited when I do that again. Picnics ultimately comes to sharing and cultivating. Adapt this list to any... Okay, cool. So this list, we can adapt to any season. That's pretty much the takeaway of the whole thing that I read. I was just meant to read. Adopt this list to any season. So this is my list that I love making when I, you know, if we have a journaling workshop, I love doing it whenever we have one, you know, even if that's like once a month or every 3 months or, you know, every once in a while. I love just writing down things that make me happy. It's a way of getting to know myself better. It's a way of saying thank you. It's a way of acknowledging what does work in my life, what makes me happy. So and yeah, it's an amazing, like, I started doing that with people. If I did like a little trip or something and we were traveling or something, just kind of like making a little list of like highlights was like a little fun activity that made us reflect upon, yeah, like widely reflect on the time that we spent together, that we, yeah, had together. Yeah, anyway, truly my voice is just, I'm so done with it. I'm so ready to sleep. So I just want to say thank you so much for sticking around and listening. Truly, I'm so grateful that that people listen and that we text, and I truly love seeing your thought, like reading your thoughts and hearing from you. It's truly very special having a platform where I can do that, and that's mainly the purpose why I started doing this and why I do this, truly. I write, direct, edit. I'm my own chef. I do everything for this show, so if you love it, please share it. Please share, rate as well. You can rate this. And also, there's a Patreon where we have monthly journaling workshops. If you enjoy the journaling aspect, I'm really willing to cultivate and connect a community where we can just gather and journal and, yeah, just talk about things that we've read or found interesting or whatever. So if you love that, go on our Patreon, which is on the description of the show. And yeah, so grateful that I get to share this space with you. So I really hope you have a wonderful week, a beautiful second half of the year. I truly hope that whatever you're navigating feels lighter and is even better than the first part of the year, and that we should just, yeah, take, I really wish that, I hope for all of us to find peace with what we keep encountering and just do the best with what we have. That's kind of my wishes for we all. Thank you so much for listening. Follow the show on Amara Podcast and follow me at Bimbirella. Bimbirella. And I'll see you on the next episode. Thank you so much. Have an amazing week. Lots of love and hugs. Bye.